Good hooting going on there. Thank you for that. I haven't even done anything. I was going to do a little evaluation of our three speakers here today. Because that B-shirt is my favorite. And I want to know if it comes in my size, Megan. I'm just going to need that. So anyway, she was the winner. But you guys, that was great. That was great. You know, having people that you walk through life with. Church isn't enough. Do you guys realize this? You're not going to get enough here. You're not going to get a Bible here. It's just not going to happen. You know, can you imagine eating once a week? That doesn't work. We need to continually take it in and to be able to go through life with people and walk through that. And this church does it really well. So if you're kind of sitting on the outside going, I don't know, those people look kind of nerdy. Maybe I don't want to hang out with them. Look, it's worth it. It's worth it to have people that know you and you are known. And that feeling of like, oh man, I'm tired, I'm depleted, I don't want to go. Misty, I totally relate to that, 100%. But it's worth it. So just click on, just figure it out. Sign up, you know. And here's another thing. Let's say you go to a life group, you don't like it. Go to a new life group. Right? Let's say you go to that group and they are the ones that eat kale chips. Get out of there. There's got to be a meat life group out there that you can go to, right? All right. Enough of the infomercial. So we're in this series, the story I'm telling myself and the story we're telling ourselves today, that sometimes we tell ourselves, is that my pain makes me unusable. And the reality is we all walked in here with some pain. And some of it might be long in your past. Some might be this week. Some might be from a relationship. Some of you walked in here with physical pain. Who's over 50? Okay, right? I know you got it. And you know where it's going? Nowhere. You're going to still have it. And I know if you're young, you're going, all the old people are talking about their ailments. Let me tell you something. It's coming for you. You cannot avoid it. But the reality is that sometimes that pain makes it difficult for us to be the people that we're supposed to be. It can distract us from what's important. Here's something I have noticed just personally, that when I'm going through a painful situation, it makes life me-focused. There's also a tendency that when we feel pain, that people end up getting hurt. You've heard the phrase, hurt people, right? I know that's true because I've been the person who's been hurt and I've been the person who's done the hurting as well. It's just the way it is. Well, today we're going to look at our pain and we're going to see that our God can rewrite our pain, that our pain is usable. We're going to look at the upside of pain. And to do that, I want to tell a Bible story. We're going to get to that in a second. It's probably one that you've heard. But I want to context it. Because there's a lot of times when you're reading the Bible, and you read a story, and you just don't really feel the emotion of it. You don't really put yourself in that situation. Especially if you've been in church a long time. It's just like, oh, yeah, that blind man, big deal, right? That probably wasn't that hard. You know, it's like, so let me tell you another story, okay? About 35 years ago, I was a youth pastor, and this was the time in my life when I was at my athletic best. I was a stud back then, and the youth pastor place that I worked at was amazing. It had something I wish we had. It had a full-size athletic gym. So every week I would show up, and before youth group would take place, we would either play basketball one week, volleyball the next week. And let me just tell you something. I dominated. And yes, I was playing against children. But that did not keep me from blocking as many shots as I possibly could. It's spiking volleyballs into those little ones' faces. So we would play every week, and there was one student there that if we were to pick teams, we don't pick teams. Picking teams is of the devil, right? Who's been picked last? Okay, yeah. You remember, right? How long ago was that? Long time ago, you remember being picked last. So we didn't do that. But if we were to pick, he would probably be the last one picked. And it wasn't just because he was smaller. His name was Shane. But the reason why he would be picked last is because he only had one working hand. And I never got the full story, but when he was a child, something happened and he lost the use of his hand. And what made it even more sad is that his father was a doctor and could do nothing to help. So we would play, and Shane, God bless that kid, he would play with us. And if he was playing basketball, you know, he would dribble the ball with his one, you know, working hand. I don't know any more sensitive way to say it. And then he would just hold it, and he would shoot from the hip. And he was amazingly accurate shooting from the hip like that. Now, that didn't keep me from blocking his shot. But he was okay. And we would also play volleyball, and he would, you know, he was a gamer. And he would show up. But he was a junior high kid with one working arm. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the names that he was called? Can you imagine when they're picking teams? The things that he felt like that he missed out on athletically. Because he had one working arm. If you have your Bible, open it up to Mark chapter 3. Most of us can't fully understand what it would be like for this man that we're about to read, but Shane would. He'd get it. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Now I'm positive Shane faced all kinds of frustrations. But this man, even more. There are all kinds of jobs that Shane could do. He could teach. He could, you know, work. I'm sure there's all kind of computer programs, workarounds, and he could be a lawyer. It's almost unlimited, you know. Certain things that he couldn't do, but many things that he could still do now. But back then, in Jesus' day and age, most of the jobs were manual labor. There were no computer jobs. You couldn't, you know. So he was on the outs. Not only was he on the outs as far as work goes, but relationally. Now that sounds strange, but here's the deal. Back then, there was this feeling that if something like that was wrong with you, that it was a curse that God had placed in your life. And so there's this prevailing ignorance for anyone who is blind or deaf. And Jesus was actually asked, who sinned? Was it this guy or his parents? Those are the kind, that's the way people thought. It is very likely that the way he made his money was begging. And people like that would sit in front of the temple, and they would hold, you know, a vase or a jar or a can or whatever it was, in hopes that they would get enough money so they would be able to eat that day. Think about that. Having a shriveled hand might influence whether or not you get married. Would influence who or who would not be your friend. Certainly how you would work. And I have a feeling this is where he landed. My pain makes me unusable. And I just wonder if you've ever felt that way. The pain that I've experienced is so great that it has made me unusable. The pain from that relationship keeps me at a distance from other people. The pain of the mistakes that I have made in my past are too great. God can't overcome them and use me. It makes you just feel like maybe you in your state just are not going to have much of an impact. And, you know, some of our pain, some of it goes all the way back to childhood, doesn't it? You know, your parents really never were there for you in any meaningful way, and you still carry that. And if that's you, then I can relate to your pain. I'm guessing this is how this man felt. Look at how the story plays out. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Look at that last line. Really? This doesn't feel very sensitive, Jesus. This has got to be the last thing that this human wanted. I'm guessing that he did everything he could to not be in the spotlight. That when he was walking through the marketplace, that he would hide his hand. Because he didn't want people to talk, and he didn't want children to laugh. And Jesus makes him stand up in front of everyone. Now, I want to just take a quick side note. Do you mind? Can we take a little side note? Because I want you to know that Jesus honors people who are willing to stand up in front of everyone. Look with me, Matthew 10:32. "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." That's pretty clear, isn't it? And so you see Christians who try to do this. Some try to do this in different ways, like you'll see people with t-shirts on. I'm trying to see, is there any Jesus? Well, yours is the Jesus t-shirt, right? All right. There are some people who do it that way. Some people try to do it on their bumpers. Do I have some bumper stickers, Justin? Let me see what we got. Honk if you love Jesus. Text if you want to see him. All right. Here's another one. It's a little blurry, but do you follow Jesus this closely? Put on a bumper. Okay. Let me try one more, see if you can see this one. "I love Jesus and pickles." Sweat. Okay. That does technically, you know, count for standing up in front of people. It also counts as being weird. But here, let me ask you a question. When the conversation turns to spiritual things, somehow, are you the kind of person that is willing to join in? When somebody is struggling in your life and they don't necessarily know Jesus, are you the kind of person that's able to bring Jesus in and pray for that person? Are you just gonna, you know, shy away and go, you know what, maybe not today? When God does the amazing in your life, are you willing to share it with other people? Because God does honor us when we stand up in front of everyone. Now, he didn't want to do it, but he did. Look at how it plays out. When Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and he said to them, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Just sit in that for a second. This hand that he hides whenever he's in public, this hand that has kept him from getting work, this hand that has maybe kept him from being married or having the kinds of friends he wants, in one moment, he reaches out his hand, and it's restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This guy was healed. No longer would his jobs be limited. No longer would his relationships be limited. No longer would that thing that capped his life was no longer there. It was all good for the man with the shriveled hand. But Jesus, not so much. This line just amazes me. They went out to begin to plot with Herodians how they might kill Jesus. I just don't understand. These people had walked past this guy begging, probably for years. They knew exactly who he was. And rather than rejoicing with him, now they're plotting to kill Jesus. Because somehow these people had made following God a set of rules. And on that set of rules was, don't do work on the Sabbath. I don't know how healing is work, but that's what they did. And let me tell you something. We look at that and go, wow, how could anybody do that? Really? We do it all the time. There are churches everywhere, and probably this one, where people have made following God a set of rules. He comes down to earth to be in relationship with us, to love us, to care for us, to walk us through the difficult times of our life. And we make it about, well, have you done your devotions today? And, you know, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with girls who do, don't watch Game of Thrones, right? And if you could check all the boxes, then you're in. Now, let me help you understand something. It's not that God doesn't have some things he wants us to do and not do, but the reasons why he wants us to not do certain things is because those things are going to hurt you. Have I ever mentioned to you that I have a granddaughter? Have I ever brought that up? So this granddaughter is playing on our stairs in our house. We have two stairs. And the reason why we have two stairs is I'm 61. Actually, the house just came like that, but how great. Well, you know, only two stairs. And the guy who had it before, there's a handicap bar there. So I'm set, man. But the 16-month-old, man, she does not navigate stairs that great, but she wanted to try it. So she's going up and down those stairs. And every time she comes down, we're looking at her, slow, slow. And she like jumps off that bottom stair like she's paratrooping. The reason why we say slow is not to keep her from having fun, but because we can envision her head caroming off a step. Right? Yes, there are things that God asks you to do and not do. But this is why. Not so that we can hold each other to a set of rules. Look, have any of you been wounded by a church that made life all about the rules? If that is the case, I just want to say publicly, I am sorry. Because Jesus wants to be all about relationship. And he wants to wrap his arms around you and love you. But this happens. It doesn't just happen to Pharisees. Now, one other point I need to make, and we're going to look at how our pain can be usable in just a second, but one other point. Do you know that God allowed this guy to be wounded? He allowed it. And there are things in your life, you go, how could you allow this, God? Well, this is how he allowed it. He allowed it so that his miracle could take place in his life. So that God could show up in a way that would be beyond comprehension. And that's why he allows some of these things to happen in our life. And that pain can be usable. So let's talk a little bit about, we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about the purpose of our pain. And we're going to start here. Pain causes us to run back to God. It does. When I'm in pain, when I'm going through something different, I have to be so close, man. I can't afford to run away. I gotta be close. I've been a pastor for a very long time because I'm very old. And right now, it's my neck. My neck hurts. Can somebody give me a neck massage between services? And I've seen this over and over and over. Somebody comes back to church, and they're apologetic. They used to come, now then they didn't, and now they're coming all the time and go, I feel guilty because the reason I came back is because this happened. My divorce, my lost job, my illness, and now I'm back. And I feel like God's going, okay, then, I guess I'll let you come back. And he's not that way. He wants to hear from us. It doesn't matter. Okay, so I've got four children. They're all strikingly good looking. And my children call me. And they call me all the time. Now, I'm going to give you a list. We're going to make this a quiz. Why my children call me. Okay? I'm going to give you three options. The reasons why children call me. Number one, my kids call me just to say they love me. Okay? That's one. Two, my kids call me to thank me for what a great parent I've been. That's number two. Number three, my kids call me when they are in trouble. Okay? How many of you agree, think it's number three? 100%. In 1 week, here were the calls I got. Dad, how do you work jumper cables? Dad, where do you buy a car battery? Dad, how do you put in a new car battery? Dad, where's the best place to buy a couch? Dad, can you Venmo me money so I can go to Trader Joe's? Dad, the check engine light is on. Look, I'll be honest with you. At this point in my life, I'm happy to get those calls. I just want to talk to them. And I'm happy to walk them through those things because my children are my delight. God's not mad at you when you call out to him in an emergency. He's just glad you picked up the phone. And if we're honest, sometimes it's that pain that gets us to make the phone call. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Problem of Pain, and he said this, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience. But he shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And you and I, we get it, right? We are that slow that sometimes that's what we need. Here's another quote, same book. The creature's illusion of sufficiency must, for the creature's sake, be shattered. We talked about this last week. We got to get to the place where we don't got this. Where we realize he's got this. Okay, let me give you a second reason for pain. Pain gives God an opportunity to show up and show off. Yeah, it's, you know, I've been in church for a long time, and there are certain things that you couldn't answer any other way. You know, I got a phone call from somebody in our church that their baby was being given last rites. And she sent a picture, and you've never seen so many tubes attached to a baby. The baby just stopped breathing. And I was so angry. I said, God, you can't allow this. So I went to in my street. I could walk past my worship leader's house to my children's director's house, and right around the corner was my youth pastor. So he came over, and there's another family. We all met at this house, and we prayed. And Mom said, I knew when you were praying, I could feel it. And that baby was healed. And I would see that little child just growing up in our church. And every time I would see her, I was so grateful. I showed up one Sunday, and a guy told me this story. He says, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor and given like a 1.5% chance of living. So they went and they operated. They went to operate on my brain, but there was an infection, and they couldn't do it. Wow. And then he said, but God healed me, and he showed me, I made him show me, two brain scans. And one had this big tumor in it. The next brain scan was clear and no reason except for Jesus. Listen, I've seen him do the amazing. And I want you to know, every Sunday I'm here, and you can find me, and we'll pray together for that thing. And when I pray for you, I'm not going to pray, hey, God, take this pain and just use it to grow this person. I'm going to pray that God will take that pain thing away, because God can do that. I want you to understand that we have a Savior who is capable. I do know from personal experience that some of the greatest things that have grown me into the person I am is when the pain wasn't taken away as well. But we're going to pray to this God and advocate together that he does a work. So pain gives us God the opportunity to show up and show off. And he's done it and I've seen it. Can you give me one last point about pain? Pain grows us into the people we're meant to be. So at my last church, I decided, look, you know, we can reach a certain amount of people on a Sunday morning, but with this digital age, there's just all kinds of different ways you can reach people. So, and one of the hard things is when you're at a church and somebody becomes a Christian, you need to teach them how to read their Bible and how to pray, right? So we decided to do a podcast with 10 steps on how to get people to the, you know, into that growth mindset, to teach them how to do some of the basics. Well, it went so well, we decided to keep going. And we did a podcast for almost 4 years, over 200 episodes. It's called 10 Steps Further. And whether you're just starting your faith or you're 30 years in, all we want you to do is get 10 steps further in your faith. And during the course of that podcast, you can find it on Spotify. In fact, today I'm going to send you out some stories. Jill is going to send out those stories to you of different people that we interviewed that had stories of pain that were remarkable. This is Brian April, okay? He is a comedian, and he's hilarious. Over the course of this podcast, I think he did 15 different impressions of different things. He does some amazing, The Simpsons. I know you don't watch it because you're a Christian, but, and if you watch The Simpsons, we're going to kick you out of the church because that's on our set of rules that you can't do, but he's hilarious. And he got a bacterial infection, which led to facial paralysis 6 months after he had gotten married. And when I met him, his face kind of sagged on one side. And as I interviewed Brian, I found out that that is what drove him back to Jesus. And I asked him at the end of this podcast, would you change anything? And he said no. Now, praise God, Brian got his face back. God healed him of that. But that pain was usable in Brian's life, and you can hear his story. To give you another, this is Talia Walsh. Talia was engaged to be married to Sergeant Jan Arganish. Let me give you a list of what kind of guy this was. His accomplishments included the Bronze Star, the Purple Heart, the National Defense Service Medal, the Army Reserve Components Achievement Medal, Armed Forces Reserve Medal, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, Global War on Terrorism Expeditionary Medal, Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal, NATO Medal, Meritorious Union Commendation Medal, Army Achievement Medal, and the list goes on and on and on. I want to ask you, what medal have you gotten? Come on now. I haven't gotten a medal yet. I feel like I should get a medal. Maybe you guys could come up with a medal or something for me. He was deployed, and he died before their wedding. Since that time, Talia has gone on to release a CD and raise over $250,000 to help veterans. And her pain was usable. Another one, this is Michael Howell. This is a screen grab of something that I want to show you right now. I met Michael, so I had a person in my church who had ALS. And he was my insurance guy, and I was in his home many times, and I baptized him. Couldn't get him in the baptismal, so we just dumped water on his head. I think God would be okay with that. We lost my friend Alan, and his wife, Kathy, was wondering, what possible good could come out of this? In our community, we found out that there was another person who was just diagnosed with ALS, and his name was Michael. And so his wife called up my friend Kathy, and they went for a walk around the lake. And she told him about our church. And Michael and his wife came to Canyon Springs. And he found Jesus. And not only did he find Jesus, but he decided, you know what? I want to make a difference. I'm going to show you this video right now.
A Scripps Ranch father and husband is finding new meaning in life through a powerful yet painful journey. Here's his story, inspiring San Diego.
This is like, see, they do their dishes outside.
Michael Howell's heart breaks for the people living here in the impoverished neighborhood of El Florido in Tijuana, Mexico.
But to see how they live down there is heart-wrenching.
Michael and his family started a children's feeding program through an organization called Build a Miracle.
From the first time he called me, he just said, I want to do something. What do you have going on right now?
Founder Julianne North sent Michael this picture of the kids in the feeding program eating. It's where Michael first spotted Alexis.
It was a group of 14 kids sitting around a table eating, and he was the only one that was saying grace. And that just really touched me.
So Mike emails me back and he said, tell me about that kid. I said, well, he's on our waiting list for a home. And so his next email said, okay, I want to build him a home.
Michael is on a mission to help others. Just ask those who know him.
Michael's decided to do is to do for one what you wish you could do for everyone.
Yeah.
You see, this man, so exceptionally generous, wasn't always this way.
I spent my entire life building up things for me and my family and trying to create opportunities for them.
Not unlike most of us. That is, until a medical diagnosis would so drastically change his body, mind, and spirit.
Lack of leg strength, what made it pretty obvious there was something serious going on.
Doctors confirmed what Michael Howell suspected. He has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, a cruel disease that progressively paralyzes the body without affecting the mind. The average time of survival after diagnosis, under 6 years.
If it starts like it did for me in my left foot and then moves up, you can last for 3 to 5 years or maybe longer if you're lucky.
Are you afraid?
No.
Remarkably, not afraid because of a newfound faith and his resolve to live life serving others.
I spent my whole life, probably from 10 to 12, all the way to 51 when I was diagnosed, walking away from God. And then this was just like him putting a wall in front of me and saying, you can continue the way you're going, or you can turn around. And I decided to turn around.
And this is what that looks like. Remember the boy, Alexis, praying in the picture? From pouring the foundation to painting the walls, Michael and his family worked with Build a Miracle to turn Alexis's family's shack into a 3-bedroom, fully furnished home with plumbing, appliances, and beds. And the Howells paid the $16,000 cost to make it happen.
The family is just incredibly grateful.
This story of lives transformed on both sides of the border in the face of adverse circumstances, especially powerful for those who have witnessed it.
Something about us comes alive when we are making a difference in the life of somebody else.
One family's miracle built by one man who's spending his last days building a legacy.
Instead of being so overwhelmed and paralyzed with the need being so great, just take it one child at a time or one family at a time and try and make a difference in their lives.
I know what you're thinking. Boy, Jack's aged. So Mike was my friend, and they did an event for him to just kind of raise awareness and raise money for ALS. And they made these, I think it was for his, was it for his 50, I don't know. They made these giant heads of him. And so I took one to Hawaii when my family went, and we took pictures with Michael's giant head all throughout Hawaii. And then about a year later, we said goodbye. At the end of that podcast, we asked Michael if he would change anything, and he said no. Because he is in eternity today because of that pain that he experienced. Look, I want to take it away. I wish I could just reach into your life and take that pain away. I can't do it. But I can do this. I can tell you that it's worth it. I can tell you that it's growing you into the person that you're supposed to be. You can thank God that it's drawing you back to him if it is. If you're just running from him, let me tell you, like Michael did, just turn around. He's there. And let me tell you this, if you don't know already, life is not about what happens here. Life is about one thing, getting to a place where you're in a relationship with Jesus so that you can be with him in eternity. Because I tell you what, I'm going to see my buddy again. He is with Jesus, and they're doing the 100-yard dash right now. And Michael's winning. Our life is about finding Jesus and giving our life to him so we spend eternity with him, so our bodies are put back right. And it's about bringing as many people as we can. And sometimes the way he gets our attention is pain. Divorce, right? Ailments. Hard times with our kids. So let's do this. Why don't we bow our heads? I don't know if you can do this, but maybe you can pray this. God, thank you for my pain. Help it to draw me closer to you. And then maybe you want to pray this. God, thank you that the day will come when I am restored. Okay, one more prayer. God, help me to bring somebody with me. Help me to be bold enough to stand up in front of everyone. Start praying for a neighbor or a person on my kid's soccer team to know me. I pray for the day when they walk into Covenant Grove and they hear a message like this and realize you're real. Got to end like this. You've heard this before, but I got to do it. If you do not know Jesus and you want to, you want to know this God that would take your pain and redeem it. You want to know a God that can forgive you of your sin. You want to know a God that would die on a cross to save you. The day he stepped up for this guy, it was the day they started to plot his death, and he did it anyway. If you want to know that God, just pray this. Dear God, I give my life to you. I put you in charge. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I want to follow you from this day forward. If you prayed that, that begins a brand new life for you. We want to know about it. There's a little card in front of you that says, I said yes. There's a little box in the back that says, I said yes. Just fill that out, put that in there. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for meeting us here today. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.